Back in the 1950s, a doctor had come to a parochial school in order to administer polio shots. He went first to the office and spoke to the nun who was the principal, and he asked her to provide a holder. "A holder?" the sister asked. "Well, you know," the doctor replied, "somebody to hold the children. I've been getting kicked and scratched everywhere I go today." "I don't think that will be necessary here," the sister replied somewhat starchly, and then a bit more sweetly she said, "Doctor, why don't you just start out with grade one and see what happens?" Well, the doctor did as the sister asked, and he was amazed at the tight-lipped silence of the little tots. And finally, when it came to about the 10th girl, whose name was Mary Susan, after he gave her the shot, he said to her, "Well, doesn't that hurt?" And she responded, "It sure does. But I offered it up to Our Lady." Well, the doctor turned to the nun who was still standing there and shook his head. "I sure wish we had that lady in the other schools I go to." "Does the school you send your children to, parents, have that lady?" "Ours does." I remember as a child at school getting a vaccination. Father Chicata says it wasn't polio, it was TB. And that was done with a sugar cube, so obviously there was no problem at all, there was no fuss. But I know now, as an adult, that there are two sides to this vaccination issue, and that some of you parents feel very strongly about it. Speaking of vaccinations, I can only imagine the reaction if I were to give a sermon about them today. The application of the gospel to Catholic moral principles, this or any other current question, seems to be a town where Jesus and his church are not allowed to enter. And if I were to try it, I'd probably need a holder myself. But there is one intriguing issue I want to speak to you about on this solemnity of the Holy Name of Mary, and about which I often speak to Our Lady, and I imagine many of you parents do as well. Today's proper last gospel takes us to Nahum with our Lord, and a young man is being carried out on a stretcher, and his pallbearers are headed to the cemetery. His grieving mother follows. The issue is this. Why? Why do so many of our young people grow up and away from the right way, from the faith? You know, the classic case of a boy who serves at Mass almost every Sunday, year after year, and yet, when he turns 18, it's done. His parents permit it. Or a daughter whose parents have made many sacrifices to send her to a traditional Catholic school, and when she graduates from God as well. I guess we could use a holder here, but of course that's the point. They're not children anymore. There is a lot to be said on this subject, and I would welcome your thoughts about it. I want to speak about it during this month of Back to School, September. Why is church over once school is over for so many? I have no nostrums, no success formula guaranteed, either for God or for the devil. The more I consider the question, the more questions I have. There is no one simple answer. Really, every case, soul, every soul is different. Some of the worst homes, irreligious, worldly, and worse, curiously enough, have produced some excellent young Catholics. In some of our best families, firmly Catholic, seem to see their children growing up far from the faith, or especially from the morals. In today's gospel, the dead man is being carried out to the cemetery. That is to say, in the opposite direction of our Lord who's going into the town, and the funeral procession is on its way out. Isn't that always the way it is? He passes by, and we let him. He passes in the priest who is bearing Holy Communion down the rail, or blotting out our sins in the confessional. He passes by in the priest who is preaching or teaching. He passes by so many good, wise words of parents. If only their children would stop, they would listen to our Lord in their voice. But you know what? Our Lord passes by, too, in the example of so many of our own good Catholic youth themselves. Because a lot of our young people are pretty exemplary. But their example means nothing to those who are bent, the words are St. Paul's, on their own destruction. They're going in the opposite direction outside of the city towards the cemetery. Now, the procession to the grave is often accompanied by the mother of the deceased. She weeps because her every effort to save the young reprobate has failed. Perhaps she has done all that she could to prevent this death. Or perhaps she has been too weak or too worldly, wrapped up maybe in her own personal revolt, or just not a teacher, not even by example, lacking in confidence, say, or cold in her own religion and careless. Careless about many things. Perhaps that mother in the procession made all of the classic mistakes. But I will tell you this, that a mother who will not train her children, and I mean train them perseveringly with discipline in the love and the fear of God, self-control, the commandments, the church, and all of the rest. Such a mother has just rented a hearse, and she is driving her children straight to the grave. The mother who accompanies the procession in today's gospel may stand for our Blessed Mother. How she weeps to see her brown scapular children, her little Carmelite children, grown so far away. Or it may stand for our Mother the Church, who so proudly saw these little ones make their communion in their confirmation and persevere at their catechism for so many years. She had such hopes for them, that mother did, when they were small. She did so much for them, they've forgotten it all. Still, so many times a mother holds on to the soul of a son or of a daughter with dogged insistence, Monica-like, with so many tears and unwelcome words and so many prayers to persuade them to good. She is the link, the golden link and the only one left, living and strong, the connection between her son and the Son of God, or her daughter and the Mother of God. And if it were not for her, I see this, and it gives me hope. If it were not for her, they would be lost to Holy Mother Church. It would be over already. But even after death, the death of the mother, not the death of the son, I have seen this as well. The link is not severed. Indeed, often it is only after death that life is restored to a soul, because God has accepted the mother's sacrifice of her own life. And some child, now long grown up, at last comes back. Ah, the power of a mother's words and of her prayers. The power just of her persevering presence. It lasts until death and beyond. Indeed, the abbot Rupert says that if the prodigal son, do you remember the parable? If the prodigal son had had a mother, he would never have gone away from his father's house, or at least he would have returned more quickly, confident of pardon. How then to plead? To plead for ourselves and for our offspring, for the forgiveness of our Heavenly Father. To plead for our dear children growing up and so far away from home. Of all things, there's a story I came across of a French Protestant from the 19th century, an army officer back then in the cavalry, and he knew a Jesuit, and the Jesuit tells the tale. They were friends, and they used to have religious discussions. And one time, the military man said, "Father, I'm not a Catholic myself, but you know what I like about Catholics? This will surprise you. What I like about Catholics is that they honor Mary with so much devotion. I myself am a Protestant, but I love to hear my wife and my children pray their rosary at night. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death." "Let me tell you what happened to me, Father," the cavalryman continued. "It was during the Communist Revolution, 1848, the streets of Paris. I was there with the rest of the men when all of a sudden the General Bignot, rode up to us. We were in the back. And he said, 'My friend, hasten. Lead the rest of the men to the barricades. They're attacking.' I got down from my horse and I embraced my wife. And I said goodbye to my little ones. And I mounted the horse and galloped off to oppose those revolutionaries. Father, I've been in many battles. But that battle in the streets of Paris was far worse than anything I'd ever seen. When the bullets of the communists were whistling around me like hail in a tempest, I remembered those nightly prayers of my wife and of my children. And there in the midst of it all, I'm telling the truth, Father, in the depth and the quiet of my own heart, I prayed, 'Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Mary, pray for me.' And I lived to tell the tale. I did not receive even the slightest wound." Dear parents, if your children are wounded even now mortally or lying, as it were, dead someplace in some revolution of their own, remember her to whom we pray for now and at the hour of our death. Remember her who could ask her son to come back into that city, wherever it is, and to stop, and to say to your young lady or your young man, I say to thee, arise. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.